Happy Tuesday morning, Junks listeners, wherever you may be listening to the show, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, traveling with the Odyssey app. We do appreciate that. The Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, it's very simple. You go to cropmetcalf.com. You do that today. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes is where you find me on the Twitter, at CakesFlops. On the Instagram, please give a follow if you're not already. Jason Bishop is here this morning.
Morning, Cakes.
Hello to you. John Paul Flame also here.
What's up, Cakesy?
Rocking his crab kickoff sweatshirt from a few weeks ago. Very good. So the weather's getting a little chillier in the morning. Eric Bickle also here.
Still three and one. This morning, and still just like pinching myself.
Nothing has changed. The Commanders are still 3-1.
Yes. Amazing. What an amazing time to be alive.
So week four wrapped up last night.
That first game was awful.
You had two Monday night football games.
Yeah, I couldn't watch more than a half of that first game.
I guess I would say enjoy, but I'll never turn away NFL football. Even bad NFL football. Like the first game that was offered, the 7:30 kick between the Dolphins and the Titans.
Some bad quarterbacking.
The three quarterbacks that played in the game. Three. They combined for 180 passing yards in the game. And I guess to be expected when you're dealing with Will Levis, Snoop Huntley. I don't know when he stopped being Tyler. He became Snoop. And Mason Rudolph. I mean, if you're Brian Callahan, as soon as Mason Rudolph goes in, clearly the game plan is hand the ball off to the two-headed running back.
And hope that your field goal kicker is on point.
And which he was. Nick Folk was very good last night.
An average QBR, I believe, is 50.
Yeah.
Right, so below 50, you're below average.
Yeah.
Above 50, you're above average. Mason Rudolph, of the three quarterbacks you mentioned, had the best at 41.2. Now, he only completed 9 of 17 passes, 85 yards, didn't do much. Tyler Huntley had a QBR of 12.1. Mm. That is pretty dreadful. He actually didn't throw any interceptions or anything, but he just didn't do anything, right? Will Levis was barely in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
His QBR was 0.8.
Injured his shoulder, went out. You know, he's grimacing on the sideline trying to throw the ball. I'm sure, you know, Brian Callahan, the head coach, was grimacing when he threw a pick. I don't know. Why aren't we just pooling our money and betting on him to throw a pick every single game? Because
who knows
that's what he does.
Who knows if he'll be playing
and
every single game.
But, I mean, if he's starting games, we should be betting in any time.
The total QBR of the three quarterbacks was 53.
Right.
The total, if you got them all up.
I can't remember who was calling the game, but the announcer
was Orlovsky, and I'm not sure.
It was Orlovsky, Riddick. Yeah. I just can't remember who the play-by-play was. Fowler?
Not sure. Maybe.
I think it was Fowler. But he was saying how, you know, they meet with the quarterbacks and that Levis is so smart. Maybe Orlovsky was talking about being a hard worker. Well, you can be a hard worker and you can be intelligent and still throw a ton of picks.
You can still make bad
decisions. Ryan Fitzpatrick did that throughout his career.
Oh, Will Levis would kill to have Ryan Fitzpatrick's career and longevity in the NFL when all is said and done.
Of course.
Most people would.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, certainly
but Fitzpatrick, until really later in his career, he was known for throwing a lot of interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Didn't matter that he went to an Ivy League school. He might have been test smart, but on the field, he was a bit of a donk.
Sure.
And Will Levis, Fowler, or whoever it was saying he's a smart guy and works hard. Might be, you know, a la Jaden Daniels, first guy in, last guy out. It just doesn't translate on the field. He gets on the field and he self-destructs.
Well, here's what does translate. I know a lot of people, you know, were pearl clutching when Tua got his big deal from the Dolphins. Mm. Oh, Tua's not worth that sort of money. For that offense, he's worth every single dollar that they paid him. Because that offense, it just runs like a machine when Tua is there and he's healthy and he's upright.
I mean,
and without him, the entire house of cards falls apart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're on your third quarterback.
I mean, Snoop Huntley.
I mean, he just got there.
I think he had seven practices with the team.
Yeah.
But you're right.
And it showed.
Look at Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill's numbers.
Yeah.
When Tua's in there, they're 100-yard receivers.
Mm-hmm, easily.
For 59 yards last night.
Well, not only that, it affects the running game. Like, Devin Achane was on fire like the first 2 weeks of the season. And if all the teams have to do is play close to the line of scrimmage because they know there's no threat of a passing game, It bogs down everything. I mean, Kicks,
if you have Tyreek Hill on a fantasy team, you probably can't play him, depending on what you have on your roster.
He's a hard guy to sit.
The last 2 weeks, he's done nothing.
Yeah, same with Waddle.
It also reaffirms that talent is more important than coaching. Because Mike McDaniel has been lauded.
Who's been riding that wave forever?
You.
This guy.
Mike McDaniel has been lauded as this offensive genius, ahead of everybody else. Well, he is when he has Tua back there to deliver, but when he's got to turn to Skylar Thompson and Snoop Huntley, they score 12 points.
Makes you look mortal all of a sudden. You don't look so smart when Snoop Huntley is under center. But look, that's what they have to do.
No coach is going to be able to score points with those guys. I mean, come on.
So that game was brutal. I think I saw the opening total was 47. They almost got there. I think they scored a total of 43 points. I mean, after the first quarter, I believe it was donut. It was a tough watch. But the Titans prevail over the Dolphins in a road game. So that was the first Monday Night Football game. The second was definitely more entertaining as the Lions topped the Seahawks 42-29. Both of those teams are now 3-1. Lions 2-1 at home. Jared Goff had a perfect passing day, 18 for 18 last night.
That's incredible.
Average 16 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times, but he had a QBR of 95 and a rating of 155.8.
And he caught a touchdown.
They
ran Philly special.
You know what? Nice touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. He put it right in there.
That's an amazing line when you don't have an incompletion and you catch a touchdown as a quarterback.
Right. It's pretty good.
I mean, Drabby, you were talking about yesterday all the guys that were out defensively, especially on the front four. There were like 5 guys out for Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, the entire defensive line was out, and it showed.
That's incredible.
I mean, he had a beautiful pocket a lot of times, but... Dude, that was a fun game. I mean, yeah, I wish we won, but it was a shootout every time the Seahawks and Lions play. I hope they play they make it to the playoffs and we get another one because every time those teams play, they put up points.
Like the last 3 meetings have been just offensive fireworks. The Seahawks right.
Turns out that Ben Johnson guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he can call a pretty good offense.
I was jocking McDonald yesterday, his big national debut. Well. It turns Ben Johnson put him on his lap.
Doesn't hurt to have Gibbs and Montgomery in your backfield too. Like,
yeah,
that's
but they drew up some beautiful plays and also, I mean, I just love Geno Smith. I mean, Geno Smith, I'm in love with that guy. He is such a baller.
He is your guy.
He makes play after play after play.
He almost passed 400
yards last night.
Man,
they got some bogus interception at the end of the game with a minute left that wasn't even an interception, but whatever. It was a fun game, man. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, if Seattle put up 516 yards.
Yeah, there were 900 yards of offense.
They had six. Seattle had 6 receivers who had 30 or more yards in receptions. Jake Bobo, Kenneth Walker, Charbonnet, both running backs had like not 9 catches between them. JSN had 51. Lockett, that guy's eternal. He had 5 grabs for 61, and Metcalf 7 for 104.
But early in the game, one of the big plays. And he ends up having a good game. He should have had a touchdown. He got tackled at the 1. Was DK Metcalf fumbled?
Yeah,
that's just a huge turnaround play where you're getting in position to score, and you know you have a turnover. Other team goes up. I mean, they were up 21-7 at the half.
I felt bad for him too. Chasing. Because, I mean, he was just making extra effort to try to gain some extra yards, and the ball just gets popped out.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that happens. Yeah, you know the guy's trying to make a play.
Yeah,
he's a beast. I just remember when he came out and everyone was saying though he couldn't run the routes right or whatever. It's so weird.
He's a straight line runner.
He's a straight line guy. I mean, the guy's an absolute beast. He's like the closest thing to Terrell Owens.
I mean, he's 6'4", 235. Yeah. He's just a massive human being.
What a
that can run like that.
There's about 900 yards of offense in that game last night.
Yeah.
And Goff catching touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
a star turn I never saw.
That one got to the over with the quickness. You weren't sweating the over in that game.
I kind of like the 2 Monday night games.
I do too. I mean, the first game was garbage, but that just is, you know, bad luck in a way.
But at least it starts earlier.
Yeah, 7:30 kick is nice. Don't hate it.
But I think the Monday night doubleheaders, they're over, aren't they?
Believe so.
You know what else you had on last night? The Capitals.
Well, I mean, I saw that they were on my menu.
Willie scored.
I mean, it's a preseason game, JP.
I know.
I don't do preseason hockey.
I can't believe
to get you warmed up.
They've already played five games in the preseason. Wow.
Caps already have five under the belt.
I think they've already played five preseason games.
I only know three.
I don't know. I'm not. That sounds like a lot.
Okay.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
I'm sure you're right because I pay attention when the puck drops for real. I just can't. I can't stomach preseason hockey for whatever reason.
Preseason standings: Washington Capitals are three. Or excuse me, they are 2-3.
Oh, okay, you're right.
I think that adds up to five.
It does. Now, I'm bad at math, but I do know that 3-2.
I missed a couple of those.
Well, I know earlier in the day, you know, the Mets were playing. My guys, Vinny and Joe, they were texting me up a storm. How come you guys aren't talking about the Mets?
How come you guys, why don't you talk about the Mets? Talk about the Nats all the time.
Well, let me just tell you that.
You give the Mets no love.
The scenarios were so crazy. We've never seen anything like this. Because at the end of the doubleheader, both teams were celebrating. You had one team in the locker room, the Braves, or the Mets celebrating. And then out on the field, the Braves were celebrating because they had to split to both go to the playoffs. It was crazy. Diamondbacks were out because they lose the tiebreaker to both teams. But the first game was awesome. There were 10 runs scored in the eighth inning.
Lindor hit the game winner?
He hit the game winner in the ninth. But it was a really fun game to watch.
On a normal year, he might have had a shot to win the MVP.
Yeah, but not a normal year, right?
Got Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
You know, Ohtani had a chance to win the Triple Crown on the last day. He would have had to go like 5-for-5, and Arias would have had to go 0-for-5 or whatever.
But it came down
to the last day.
No, it's insane.
But that was really fun to watch. And today you got four games in Major League Baseball playoffs, including a couple day games. And the Orioles are the second game on the schedule. So you got some day baseball. It's October 1st, man.
Are you fired up, Valdez? You have your whole day planned around it? Oh, no. Are you playing Congo today or are you playing tomorrow?
No, I'm playing Congo tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I'm fired up. I can't wait to see them in the postseason. I will say, if they beat the Royals, they'll beat the Yankees. Because I think they match up better with the Yankees than they do with the Royals.
They beat the Royals 4 out of 6 this year.
They did, but they kind of caught them early in the season.
They did.
And it's just... they're opposite teams. The Royals are very good at manufacturing runs. They're very good on the base paths. Orioles cannot hold runners whatsoever.
Reagans is going for the Royals, and he is legit.
And the Orioles are very reliant on the home run ball. The Orioles are not very good at manufacturing runs.
And Bobby Witt would have won the American League MVP if it wasn't for Judge.
Yeah. So
it's going to be a fun series.
I'm kind of cautious about the series, but I do feel like if they beat the Royals, I'm all in for them to beat the Yankees.
Since you're Baltimore's guest, you're like the mayor. Are you getting free tickets?
I did have a listener offer me tickets. Oh. He had an extra ticket. He asked me if I wanted to go. I said, no, I'm sorry.
Did you say I would go, but not with you?
No. I would have gone with a listener.
You would? Okay.
But it's gonna be crazy. I would kind of want to see what the scene's
like.
You know, if you're gonna be at Sliders or Pickles today, send me a picture.
Yes. Is your dad all in? Is like he planning his whole day around it?
I think they got back just from Hilton Head just for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've been there for about 2 months.
So think about this for yesterday, the doubleheader, the Mets and Braves, since they didn't really know who they were going to play because of, you know, they needed to see the results of the doubleheader. After the second game, you know, the Braves win, so they get in, and it's, I don't know, 7:30-ish, 7:15, 7:30. And then they got to, you know, they're on the field celebrating. They go in the locker room, they celebrate. Then they got to jump on a plane and go all the way out to San Diego for a game tonight.
Hey, I think this is the first time in the history of the MLB that the Diamondbacks, they led the majors in total runs scored. And it's the first time that a team has done that and missed the playoffs.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
Why, their pitching was so bad.
That's pitching wasn't great, especially towards the end of the year. But they lost the tiebreakers to both those, both the Mets and Braves.
Hmm.
That's why they're sitting home.
I know it doesn't relate because the teams are totally different, but I hate those Royals because I think it was the last time the Orioles were in the playoffs and the Royals had those relief pitchers where if it got to the seventh inning, they would turn it over to one of their guys in the seventh and the next guy in the eighth and the next guy in the ninth, and the Orioles just couldn't get past them
in the
playoffs.
Isn't everyone kind of doing that now? Or?
Yeah, but the Royals had three studs. I can't even remember their names.
I remember.
Well, the Royals have three studs, starting pitching studs.
Yeah,
Brady Singer, Reagans, and Seth Lugo, all ERAs under 3.5. So they got some guys that'll start. That'll be tough. But Baltimore's playing at home.
All right, got
it's going to be fun to watch.
Big Tuesday show here on the Junks on October 1st. Sean Syed is going to join us. He is Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst. We'll talk to him at 8 o'clock about the Commanders and the NFL. Speaking of the Commanders, Jonathan Allen, their defensive tackle, will join us as he does every week during the season. That's coming up at 9 a.m. When we come back, we'll get into the Junks sports page. Sad day in the sports world yesterday. Some high-profile names passing. We'll get into that and more next on The Fan.